Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Good afternoon, my conscious co-creators. Welcome to another edition of the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. I am very, very pleased that you are all here with me today. We've got another wonderful guest in store for you today. I'm sure you're going to enjoy her. But first, of course, we have my blog post from a couple of years ago. So let's get started because I really want to bring her on soon. So today's blog post is entitled Embracing the Unknown Without Expectation Lightens Our Journey. Life brings us so many things. Some are expected, some are not. We tend to have a harder time with those that are not expected. Yet there's often a gift with those very same events. Some may seem tragic, others may seem delightful. What the actual experience is not as important as how we receive it. And to receive it well takes practice. It takes cultivating an energy of openness, receptivity, and fluidity. To hold our expectations lightly, stepping forward without any preconceived notions or projections. It means allowing life to surprise us, not just in some ways, but in every way. For when we are willing to drop our expectations and allow ourselves to get lost, both figuratively and literally, we discover new wonders, new adventures. We find new things out about ourselves. As we learn to live with curiosity and trust instead of fear and doubt, we will deepen our trust in life. For we may not know how tomorrow, next week, next month, or next year will go. Yet as we learn to trust, we are empowered to move forward and face tomorrow. Whatever it may bring, for life will teach us new lessons every day if we are open to seeing and experiencing the lessons. And it is always up to us to learn these lessons and decide to grow or reject them and then stagnate. There is so much power in dancing with the unknown, in letting go of our expectations and living in the present moment, being right here, right now, to experience what is in front of us. Without thinking about tomorrow or the next day. Just be with the unexpected and give it space. Space inside ourselves and space in our lives. To see with curiosity what will unfold next. What will come to us next and what magic life still has in store for us. Great inconveniences can lead to great outcomes. Amazing situations can lead to incredible friendships, support, and community. For when we share the results of the unexpected with others, they will come together to share with us their experiences as well. And then our community grows tighter. When we share our struggles with the unknown, its grip is lightened and our spirit rises. And that is unexpected indeed. So how are you at handling the unexpected? What can you do to lighten your grip on your own expectations? It's interesting that this blog post is coming around at this time because I wrote this post last August when I was either when I was out in Colorado or after I just came back from Colorado. And my wife and I had been planned this trip out. We spent about to spend about 2 weeks in Colorado. We spent a weekend in Denver, and then as I mentioned last week on my show, we stayed in this house up on top of a mountain outside of Golden, Colorado, and then about 5 days out in what was the name of the town? Silverthorne, Colorado, out in further west. And what happened was the first weekend. Was it the weekend? No, it was after the first weekend we were in Denver. My wife gets a message from her niece that my wife's sister was diagnosed with cancer. And it had spread and it was pretty bad. And so she sat with it for a day or two to really feel into what she should do. And she said, you know what? I've got to go to China to see my sister. I can't regret this later. And I was like, okay, whatever you need to do, we do. We changed her flight. She got a flight back to New York, spent literally less than 24 hours in New York, got her on a flight to China. And she spent the next month in China with her sister and her family there. And we were still committed to the house sitting that we were doing in Colorado. So I stayed in Colorado. So I spent not a full week, but the better part of a week by myself on top of a mountain, taking care of a dog and a cat, this lovely house in a beautiful setting, but completely by myself. And then I went out to Silverthorne and house sat and took care of a lovely Portuguese water dog. He was about 6 months old, chewed everything. And it was a very interesting experience for me because it was the first time in a long time that I was away from home by myself, ostensibly kind of sort of having a vacation, but unexpectedly not with my wife. And, you know, after the first couple of days, I realized that taking sort of a vacation or going away and being in a beautiful place by myself, I have no problem with it. But what was the hard part for me was I was expecting to be with someone, that I wasn't going to be completely by myself. And I ended up by myself. And even though I would drive into town and, you know, eat dinner out at a restaurant or whatever and, you know, do what I could during the daytime, I was taking care of this house. I was taking care of the plants, taking care of the dog and the cat. They needed to be fed and walk them around the property. So I couldn't just, you know, take off for a day or whatever. And so it was an interesting experience for me to just be with myself and by myself. And that was why the blog post I read last week was about being self-reliant. And this was a big lesson in sort of self-reliance. Not that I'm not a self-reliant person, but when you're married or you're in a long-term partnership and you're living with someone, and you're used to doing things and being together, when unexpectedly you're not together, it brings up certain feelings. It brings up certain experiences. And so even though this was all unexpected, I was like, I just got to make the best of it. And so I did my best to just stay really present to what I was doing, what I was feeling, and try to have as good a time as I could have. And, you know, once I got off the mountaintop and I went to Silverthorne, I would take the dog to the local dog park. So I met people there and I'd get advice from them. And so that was nice. And, you know, I remember one time I went and I tried to take the dog on a hike that somebody recommended. But by the time I got there, like all the parking spots were taken for like blocks away. So I couldn't park there. So I had to take her back and did a less vigorous walk. I took her, there was a little path by a river that went into town. So I took her along that. And, you know, it was nice. It was fun to kind of bond with this Portuguese water dog who was very playful. And still, like, throughout the whole week, you know, I was just missing being around people. And it really highlighted for me the difference, because my wife, you know, she's a therapist. I've talked about her many times on the show. She likes the time to herself because she's always helping other people. She's always being present with other people. She needs more time for herself. She's on human design, she's a projector. So projectors need their own space to recharge their batteries. But me, I'm a manifesting generator. I'm a people person. I'm an extrovert. I love being around people. I could be around people all day long and not get tired of it. So for me, kind of being forced to be on my own and by myself, it was not that I haven't been there before. I mean, I lived for many years on my own before I met my wife. But it's been a long time, you know, and it was more just the unexpectedness of the experience that really got to me. And so that's where this whole blog post was born from, was just wanting to share my experience and in the unexpectedness of the journey, of the experience, and how much there is to learn about ourselves, about others, when unexpected things happen. And, you know, of course, and then I came back and my wife was still in China for another couple of weeks. She didn't come back until September. But being home and being alone, it's a little bit different than being away and being alone unexpectedly. So, but yeah, I just sort of observed myself, how I felt and what I did and what I learned about myself. And I never would have experienced that had what happened not happened. And the reason why I say it's kind of interesting that this blog post came up this week is because just last weekend, we decided her sister's been on chemotherapy for the last 2 years. Her niece told us she's not doing too well. We were originally planning to go into China in October. And she's like, I don't know what kind of condition she'll be in by October. So we said, you know what? Let's move things around. Let's rearrange things. We booked tickets. We're going to China for the first 2 weeks of August. So, but this time I'm going with her. So it's just kind of interesting how things cycle around and come back. So that's my blog post. I hope it means something to you. I hope the story behind it means something for you. Again, the title of the post is Embracing the Unknown Without Expectation Lightens Our Journey. And of course, you can always find my blog posts on theconsciousconsultant.com and on the station's website, talkradio.nyc/blog. And if you like my blog post, you know, I have a whole book, The Everyday Awakening, You Are More Powerful Than You Know. And it's filled with great saying. So check it out if you enjoy this. So now it is my extreme pleasure to welcome to the show educator, fellow TEDx speaker, and author Courtney Fay Long. Courtney is a leading edge sexuality educator, TEDx speaker, and author who has been teaching for over 25 years. She holds a master's degree in social work and certificates in sexuality education and sex therapy from the University of Michigan. She offers online schools and retreats through her website, and you can watch her TEDx talk, Money and Sex, The Surprising Connection, online. Courtney brings a fresh and empowering perspective to two of society's most taboo topics, money and sex, revealing how a relationship with one often mirrors our relationship with the other. Through decades of working with couples and individuals, she's uncovered deep emotional, psychological, and even spiritual patterns that keep people stuck in shame, scarcity, and silence. Welcome to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Courtney.
Thank you so much, Sam. I'm so happy to be here.
It's a pleasure to have you here. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on the show. I went a little long on my blog post, so we have to take a quick break. But when we come back, let's talk about what got you interested in sexuality education. What kind of brought you into this whole field? Because this is not like your typical path, is it, for most people? So, everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. We do this every Thursday, 12 noon to 1 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on talkradio.nyc and all over social media. You can always find us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Twitch. And we'll be right back with our guest, Courtney Fay Long, in just a moment.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your Conscious Consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branku, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Welcome back to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. Our guest this hour is Courtney Fay Long, the presenter of the TED Talk, Money and Sex, The Surprising Connection. So Courtney, what got you interested in the whole field of sexual education, sex therapy, and this whole mess, I was going to say?
Well, you know, many people have a spiritual awakening, right? And I, along my spiritual awakening, was having my own spiritual sexual awakening. So I had my own business. I was teaching all kinds of classes, how to discover your life purpose, self-care for caring people, how to communicate with angels, you know, all these things. And behind the scenes, I was exploring sexuality. And so I'll share just a little bit about that, because it was fascinating to me. I was raised Catholic and had a lot of shame just around the topic of sex. I would never guess I'd be here with you, Sam, talking about sex.
So you're, as my friends like to say, you're a recovering Catholic, eh?
Yeah, exactly. Yes. And also, I discovered as a teenager that I'm bisexual. So add that to it. Then okay. In my adult years, I found that I was highly sexual, that I love sex, and that goes against the societal script, right? And at the same time, I found that I was just curious and wanted to explore. So, you know, fast forward to, this was 2011, I just happened to have an amazing experience with a lover that just completely blew me away and opened me, almost like it was a spiritual opening and awakening, and I call it my initiation. And it was one of these things where I discovered there's so much more to our sexual energy than we've been taught. And so that set me on the exploration. But I still went years without saying anything publicly because I was still ashamed. So I had to really tackle my own shame in order to start sharing.
You know, it's interesting. I've spoken with many women who've had sort of the spiritual awakening of what's called or what's known as a Kundalini awakening. Mm-hmm. And more than one of them have told me that, you know, when it happened, it was so intense, but they found that they would like orgasm like crazy. Like one woman I remember telling me she orgasmed like every day for a month because of this Kundalini awakening, that there was some sort of physical correlation to the sort of spiritual energy coursing through her body. Now, it sounds like what you experienced was something a little different, but I'm curious if you feel that your spiritual practice before all this might have helped to make you more open and more ready for that kind of amazing experience.
Yeah, absolutely. Just even the simple practice of embodiment, grounding, being present in the body, not just living in the mind, you know, opening up my heart. I'm a certified hypnotherapist. So just, I'm an intuitive as well. So just moving into those other realms of consciousness, I think really prepared me for this for sure.
Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Now, you said it was many years before you said anything around this. What was the thing that finally got you to kind of get past that guilt and shame and say, oh, okay, I think I need to start talking about this with people and helping people with this?
Well, two things. One was I would watch my students over the years really struggle with self-doubt. And they would get clarity around their life purpose or want to start a business, for example, but they would hesitate to do it. And I was always puzzled, you know, like, what is keeping them? Sorry, I think my internet glitched. I was always puzzled. What is keeping them from taking action on their soul's calling? So what is that missing link with confidence? And the other thing that really made a difference was I started realizing this is not just about what happens in the bedroom. Mm-hmm. There is something that actually scientists even call the afterglow effect. The scientists have basically coined it that for 48 hours after sex, we have elevated levels of oxytocin, the love hormone, and dopamine, the feel-good neurotransmitter. Mm-hmm. And that leads to at least a 48-hour period of increased feelings of love, excitement, creativity, confidence, and so on. So when I started realizing, Sam, this is not just, oh, have great sex and have even a spiritual sexual experience. I was starting to notice in my life, the more I worked with my own sexual energy, the more confident I was, the more magnetic I was, the more I was attracting speaking opportunities. And I just showed up differently in everything I did. My creativity was on fire. My intuitive channel was open. I was on fire, writing a book very quickly, just so many things. And so I just started feeling like I can't not share this because this I feel is the missing link to confidence, joy, creativity, and even oneness, you know, with the universe, God, source, spirit.
Right. And there are ancient spiritual practices, you know, certain practices of Tantra, not all Tantra, but certain tantric practices that are all about achieving sort of spiritual enlightenment through sexual acts.
Yeah, absolutely. And many ancient societies who knew this, like the ancient Mayans, the ancient Taoists, the ancient Aztecs, and many ancient societies that would call on sexual energy to bless their crops. You know, they even knew the connection of the sexual and abundance.
I'm curious, when you first started talking about this publicly and you first started to do this, what kind of reaction did you get from people? Did people think that, like, oh, Courtney's lost it, or did people embrace it, or were people like, you know, Courtney, you need to tone it down? I'm curious, what were the initial reactions like?
Oh my gosh, what a great question. It was a mixture. I'd been primarily focusing on angels, teaching about angels. So I literally announced one day, I'm not going to be teaching angels anymore. I'm teaching sacred sexuality. I lost a lot of people on my email list, that's for sure. But some people really were excited to learn more, and even excited to say, oh, well, this person who teaches about angels is talking about sex, kind of, I think that innocence in there, or the, you know, almost like the, oh, this is trustworthy then. This is not kind of the shadow side of sex. So yeah, it was a mixed bag, but I thought it was going to be easier. That's what was funny to me. I was like, oh, here I teach about angels. So talking about sex will be easier in the world, but not at all. Because I think there's so much shame. And even when I say the word sex, a lot of people, I think, conjure up an image of what that's about. And you know, that it's about intercourse or porn or whatever. And it's just like, oh, there's so much. I have so much to share with people.
Yeah, no, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, you said you thought it would be much easier. What other challenges did you have in the beginning when you started to make such a shift? I mean, this is really, you know, it's not just the topic itself, but it's also just sort of, in a way, it's like a branding shift, right? It's like people who knew you as the angel lady, suddenly you're the sacred sexual lady. Like, that's a big shift. I'm sure there were other challenges to that.
Yeah. I mean, one of the biggest challenges I've had has been social media, because there's some really strict filters around sexual content, even sometimes sexuality education content. So that's been a really hard part of it's hard enough just to say this kind of message in a way that's understandable, let alone have to use code words. Like, I can't say bedroom or pleasure on certain social media platforms.
Really? Even the word pleasure? Wow.
Even the word pleasure on TikTok, I got a violation of community guidelines for saying the word pleasure. So that's been really challenging. And but just definitely from a branding standpoint, it's almost like a whole new business, right? From an angel business to, okay, now I want to teach people about sexuality. But I've tried to really draw the parallels as well. Such as, you know, when I was teaching about angels, we were always asking, well, what do the angels think? Like, intuitive angel messages. And now I teach people how to become their own intuitive guide, you know, their crystal clear intuition in their own body.
Right. Just out of curiosity, has anyone ever asked you, well, what do your angels say about all the sexual stuff?
No, actually, no one's ever asked me that, Sam. It's a good question.
All right. So what do they think about all this stuff? What kind of, like, messages did you get from them therefore?
Well, yeah, that our sexual energy really is our direct link to our higher self, or to God, source, spirit, universe. It's the energy we were created from. And so they're very much in support of it. I mean, I was doing angel readings. This was years before I even mentioned anything about sex. But angels were saying, you know, call on me during your sexual experience. And then I would share with clients. And a few clients are like, oh, yeah, I already do that. So there's a lot of parallels. Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. You know, over the years, over the 15 years I've been doing my show, you know, I've interviewed a lot of different psychics, spiritual people, people I consider tuned in. And I remember years and years and years ago, like probably, you know, close to 15 years ago, interviewing a woman who was very psychic. And I think I asked her about relationships, and she said, you know, spirit they think our whole attitudes towards relationships is ridiculous. They're like, what are you making such a big deal over? Just be with each other, you know, and like all of these sort of societal norms. And this is one of the reasons why I interviewed Leon Feingold last week to talk about polyamory and ethical non-monogamy is that from when you look at things from an energetic perspective, like restrictive rules or cultural norms around things energetically kind of tighten the energy, collapse the energy, and they're not as expansive. And I'm not making any culture wrong. I'm not saying anyone should not follow what they believe is moral and ethical. But I'm just to look at things from an energetic perspective. It's kind of interesting how over the millennia, so much energy has gone into sort of restricting sexual activity and restricting relationship activity, which kind of goes against the energy of the whole thing, doesn't it?
It really does. Yeah. And I have something that I'll share. I'll wait till after our break, but okay. I have something to share about that.
All right. Wonderful. Wonderful. So with that cliffhanger, we're going to take our next break. Please stay tuned. You are listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, and we'll be right back with our guest, Courtney Phelan.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
Hey, everybody. It's Tommy D, the nonprofit sector connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host a program, Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
All right, Courtney, you left us with a cliffhanger. So what do you have to say about this whole idea of relationships and restriction and stuff?
Well, I thought that was such a brilliant point, Sam, because of the restriction energy. So it goes back to our direct link to the divine, to the whole universe, that our sexual energy is our soul essence flowing through our physical body. So there's religions that have really restricted it. And I believe wholeheartedly that eons ago, when these religions were formed, that they were possibly trying to control people. And with that, they wanted people to believe that they don't have their own direct link to the divine. That they need, you know, the spiritual leader that's interpreting what God says, for example. So it was more of just, let's strip the people from their sexual connection, their sexual power. Let's make sex wrong and let's restrict the whole energy so that people follow the leader, you know, and so on. And we're literally, as a society, we're still in that, I'd say, a mess of just feeling like, oh, sex is wrong. I shouldn't enjoy this. And like you said, it's a very expansive energy. It's not restrictive. So yeah, it's so exciting that we're having this almost a revival of people in their power looking at, do I want to be polyamorous? Do I want to experience ethical non-monogamy? Do I want to, you know, explore my own sexual energy through self-pleasure, which is a beautiful thing. There's just, yeah, there's a lot to it. But I just want to point out, when we are sexually empowered, our intuition is wide open. We know the next answer for our next action step, whether it's for our business, our money making, our love life, to be happy and healthy. So it's really connected to our power.
Yeah. And so one of the interesting things I find about the perspective with which you're taking is you're focusing on money and sex. You're focusing on sort of the impact that sex has on our financial life and vice versa. I'm wondering what kind of brought that, highlighted that for you that got you to say oh my God, this is something really important we need to talk about.
Yeah. Well, that's a really good question. There's a couple pieces. One was Napoleon Hill talks about this in his book, Think and Grow Rich. He has a whole chapter on sex transmutation. And as I was exploring myself, I realized we can use our sexual energy to create. It's to manifest, right? And a lot of people, this became popular on TikTok a handful of years ago. They call it the O method. And it's where when you're getting close to orgasm, you imagine what you want to create, whether it's a new relationship or deeper love in your current relationship or more money, business opportunity, whatever. You imagine what you want to create and you use that heightened sexual energy, which is the highest vibration we can experience. And it's almost like a portal of creation. So you imagine what you want as though it's happening as you're getting close to orgasm, if possible, even while you're orgasming and after in the afterglow. So it's really a potent practice. And that's just, there's a lot more to it, but that's the kind of the coolest part of the manifestation process that people get excited about. But I just started looking at, wait a minute, since I have become sexually empowered, I'm putting myself out there more in the world. I'm more confident going on social media or sharing my own story. I'm writing books. I'm, just things that I used to feel so stuck in self-doubt. I suddenly almost had the accelerator on, I could share freely. So it was just all these pieces where I just started realizing I'm making a lot more money than I ever was. Then I started looking at how do these puzzle pieces fit together? So I say in my TEDx talk, I say Napoleon Hill in Think and Grow Rich, he said, yeah, there's a thing here. This is connected, money and sex. I figured out how it works and looked at some of the research behind it and figured out the steps, which I put into my glow step. So I kind of created the map of how it works.
I see. Interesting. And so, money and sex are two highly charged topics in the world. And to bring them both together seems like it could be rather explosive in a way.
Yeah.
Have you had people, what's the term? What do they call it online when someone really comes after you?
Like backlash or?
Yeah, backlash.
Yeah, or attacking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd say I haven't had a terrible backlash, which is really good.
Okay, good.
Yeah. But also on a lot of social media platforms, I haven't found a way to speak super freely about it. So the most freely I've said it is in my TEDx talk on YouTube. Gotcha. Yeah, but the funny thing to me is often when I say, oh, money and sex, people immediately think prostitution.
Right,
we have so much more to learn about this. But there's even scientific studies that link these together. There's a lot of studies that say just sex. Just sex in terms of it's not conscious, creative, sacred sex, just the kind of regular sex.
Mm-hmm.
Increases our happiness, that people who have sex once a week or more are happier than people who have sex less frequently than that. There's lots of health benefits, like improving our immunity, reducing anxiety, reducing stress, a whole long list of health benefits. There's studies that link sex with increased self-esteem and confidence. There's links with creativity, productivity at work the next day. And there was one study that actually noticed that the more sexually active someone is, the higher their wages at work.
Oh, interesting.
Isn't that cool? It wasn't a direct link. They didn't think, oh, more sex causes more money. But they said it's because of those well-being effects that sex helps us feel, you know, brighter, lighter, have that spring in our step, that they think then is helping people's work performance and therefore their wages. So it's really powerful. And part of the reason I've tried, you know, really tackling this is because of the taboo. You know, I'm a spiritual woman, entrepreneur. I know I've had my own struggles just realizing it's okay to make good money. It's, you know, and not just enough to get by, but actually many of us are being called to rewrite the script completely and say, actually, we are meant to be rich and overflowing because the more money we have, the more people we can help.
Right.
You know, and the nature of our soul just is abundant.
Right.
So it's almost like being in alignment with our soul. So, yeah, there's a lot to it.
So how many years now have you been putting out this message?
So six and a half years, the sexual message out of my 25 years of teaching.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm curious if maybe you can give us an example of maybe someone you've worked with, who you've helped, and what sort of shifted in their life after you've kind of helped them to really embody this way of being, I guess I'd call it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll share about Lotus, one of my clients, and she's single. So it's a really good example that, you know, our sexual energy is within us. We can share it with a partner, but we can also do this on our own as well. So anyway, Lotus basically experienced a huge increase in her worthiness, her feeling of feeling worthy and confident. And she also noticed naturally that she was making more money and like attracting more work. She was working for a company, but also doing some contract work. And she basically started making more money and started paying off her debt. And yeah, it was really powerful. And I think, you know, there's just a link too of the more confident we are, the more worthy we feel. Right. Of course, we're going to expect more money when we're negotiating pay rate at a job or when we're attracting more clients. And she also had the confidence to start her own business as well as an angel communicator, which is so
nice. So, did she do this with partners or was she doing this by herself?
All by herself.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I'm curious, do you find more women are attracted to this message than men?
That's a good question. I would say maybe just slightly more women, but there's been a lot of men too. A lot of men who are craving deeper, more meaningful sexual experiences and just generally more authentic love, you know, just a general deeper connection to themselves, to the universe, to their partner. Right, yeah. So, yeah. Cause I work, you know, I have a wonderful business coach and they're always trying to get me to niche down, you know, just focus on women. And I'm just like, no, sorry.
Yeah. No, this sounds like something that everyone needs to hear.
Yeah.
I'm curious when you work with someone and you first try and coach them and encourage them in this direction, what is usually their biggest challenge with just getting started, with just, you know, beginning to embody this way of being?
Well, I would say because I teach glow practices that involve self-pleasure, you know, also known as sacred masturbation. And so for a lot of women, especially, it can be hard to get turned on enough to just get into the self-pleasure. Okay. And also one of the biggest challenges is so simple. It's just time, because people tend to put pleasure last on the to-do list and think of it as a luxury. Like, oh, you know, if I've got time or energy at the end of the day, not realizing actually sexual self-pleasure gives us more energy, you know, it energizes us. And also it's so important that we got to put it, you know, we got to prioritize it and put it higher on the to-do list and carve out time.
Isn't that so interesting that the thing that like brings us joy, we put far down on the priority list.
Yes. Yep.
Why do you think that is? Is that a self-worth issue or is it just a societal programming issue?
I think both for sure. Cause yeah, we're programmed to think we got to be productive all the time. And even like a lot of my clients, the ones I have literally right now, they just have a hard time just taking a break or resting or just sitting outside in nature, let alone enjoying sexual pleasure. So it's almost like that culture of struggle and suffering. You got to struggle and suffer. And if you're lucky, you get a burst of joy here and there. But it's like, no, we can infuse joy and pleasure into our everyday moments and feel that more and more. So I think there's something about the permission, like giving ourselves permission to just feel good. It's okay to feel good. Yeah. And we're supposed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. I do want to ask you about your glow method. But I think I want to take the break first and then let's get into it when we come back. And then we have to finish this up and I would love to know, you know, what you see in the future, if there are any new books you're working on or anything you're working on for the future. Okay.
Awesome. Sounds great.
All right. Wonderful. So everybody, please stay tuned. You're listening to the Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity. And we'll be right back to finish this all up with our guest, Courtney Fay Lung.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, and each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be Frank About Health with all of you.
Ready to serve up success with a splash? Hi, I'm Bruce Kramer, a.k.a. the Corporate Cockroach.
I'm the Renaissance Woman, Angie Snowball.
And I'm your strategy doctor, Dr. Navtej Dasanjh, inviting you to serving up success with a splash.
Join us as we shake things up with real talk and real strategies centered around awareness, action, and accountability.
And yes, there really is a cocktail involved. Please join us and sip your way to success.
Serving up success with a splash, where wisdom meets happy hours. Cheers!
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC at www.talkradio.nyc. Now broadcasting 24 hours a day.
So, Courtney, before the break, you mentioned about your GLOW methodology. Why don't you share that with our audience?
Absolutely. So, the GLOW number one, the G in GLOW stands for grounding. And that is literally about grounding into our body, not grounding onto the earth, but just being present in our body, especially in our root chakra, which is where our sacred genitals are, and really being so anchored in our root. Being so anchored in our root that we can really feel our intuitive guidance. So I say in my TEDx talk that our genitals are meant to be our GPS, our genital positioning system. And I know we've got a lot of shame in that area as a society, but it's so important to be present in our body. GLOW number two is the L in GLOW, which stands for love. So this step is all about the heart. It's about melting our heart wall, this kind of energetic wall that we hold where we've had past hurts or resentments where we say, I don't want to be hurt again. So then we kind of unconsciously block the flow of love. So it's just really about opening our heart to love, to receiving abundance. And the other part of it is getting in our feminine energy enough to actually receive, because, you know, so many of us give. But then when it comes to receiving, we sometimes can be blocked. So And each glow step, literally, when I teach these, I spend months on each one. So I'm trying to give a little brief, brief kind of snippets of it. But in general, it's really about that process of opening.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Glow number three, the O in glow stands for orgasmic. So in glow number three, it's about really lighting our sexual fire, our sexual energy, feeling turned on in our everyday life. Like, in, you know, that feeling of when you have a sexual fantasy, just imagine if you can feel that feeling when you're sitting at your desk, sending an email, or when you're sitting down to create your next project or creative idea. So I would definitely recommend for the viewers, have more sexual fantasies during the day. You know, let your body feel turned on. Because as a society, what we've been taught so little about sex that when we get turned on, often we want to release it. Like, oh, let me go self-pleasure. Let me make love to my partner. And then we like kind of rush to the orgasm and release the energy. But if you can just hang with that feeling of like, wow, this feels good to feel turned on, and start thinking, how can I channel this energy into my creativity and my work, it's phenomenal. So yeah, isn't that cool?
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Nice.
Yeah. And then glow number four, the W in glow stands for wealth. And that is the step where it's all about utilizing our sexual energy to create what we want, to manifest, whether that's money or opportunities that bring money to us, fulfilling our purpose, manifesting love, whatever it is. But that's that really kind of advanced level where we say, okay, this energy, our sexual energy, it's our creative life force energy. It's powerful enough to create new life, a baby. So it's certainly powerful enough to create other, smaller things in our lives or big things like, wealth. And again, it's all about just clearing shame around money, sex, just all of it. And just like you said about the energy, it's not a restrictive energy. Our sexual energy is very expansive and it helps us to feel alive. So the last thing I'll say about is these glow steps, it's about taking that energy from the root chakra, because that's where it's kind of stuck for most people. It's almost like a dormant volcano in the root chakra that for some people, even if they've had great sex, they might not have tapped into this powerful sexual energy. And you breathe it up, you move it up through the chakras, all the way up the spine, all the way out your crown, into your energy field like a fountain. And that's where you get that glow, this profound glow.
Gotcha. So, I'm trying to think of my listeners and the challenges they might have with this. And I'm thinking of just, let's say you have two people who are partners. They could be opposite sex, same sex, and maybe they have a kid or two. And they've been together a long time. And there's sort of this sort of traditional concept of like the longer you're together and you have children and you get tired, and just even the idea of being affectionate or romantically as connected as you were in the beginning is much more difficult. And I'm wondering, what would you advise someone in that kind of situation?
Well, the really fun thing to do is to share with each other your top three turn-ons, just things that really turn you on. And it could be sexually, like I get really turned on when you caress my hair, or it could be something in everyday life. I get really turned on when you surprise me with flowers. Right? Or I get turned on when you take the trash out.
Or wash the dishes.
Or wash the dishes. Exactly. And so we always want to focus on the positive, not the negative. Not like, oh, I get turned off when you don't take the trash out. Just focus on the positive, and just literally, I would literally just get out post-it notes and be like, here's my top three turn-ons. What are yours? Make it maybe a fun date to even think about it and talk about it and share with each other. And then you just choose one, to focus on in that moment. And remember, there's just such power in flirtation and compliments, just telling each other, you look really hot in those jeans, or wow, that smile. Oh my gosh, your smile just melts my heart. Just little compliments can also kind of help spark the fire.
Yeah, gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we don't have a lot of time left. I would love to know, like, you've written a lot of books in the past. Are you working on anything now? What's the future hold for Courtney Phelan?
Yes, I sure am. I'm working on a book for women specifically of how to light their sexual fire and manifest more money. And I say women are meant to be rich. I mean, everyone is. But this one's specifically for women. And I also am really focusing on women who want more sex than their partner, who tend to have a lot of shame about it. So highly sexual women who want more sex, maybe they don't know how to ask. And yeah, so we'll be writing a book about that as well and teaching classes. Yes, so lots ahead. And I also teach retreats, for private retreats for couples and group retreats in Kauai, Hawaii, and Sedona, Arizona. I live in Phoenix, Arizona, so it's just short drive up the road to get to Sedona. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. One question before we close out. I'm curious, just kind of came to mind. Is the sexual dynamic between heterosexual versus homosexual versus trans people, is there a difference when people have a different sexual orientation than the normal thing?
Well, that is a really good question. Our sexual energy, just by its nature, has both feminine qualities and masculine qualities. Right. And so I would say the energy is very neutral.
Okay.
And you can call on more of a kind of like a igniting masculine energy, like the spark, the initiator. And you could call on a more kind of feminine, relaxed energy that's receiving. So it's, yes. And when I had a relationship with a woman for many years, this is when I started exploring sexual energy, because I realized we didn't have the same equipment that I was used to when I was with a man. Yeah. And so I started feeling there's so much more to the energetic level where we can just, you know, make love. It's almost like making love to each other's souls. And that's where sex becomes not just physical, but the spiritual, emotional, mental, and physical.
Got it. Got it. Okay. I think that's a wonderful place to end off. If people want to learn more about you, get in touch with you, how do they find you? How do they reach out to you?
My website is CourtneyFaeLong.com. Faye is F-A-E and Long is L-O-N-G. Courtney Faye Long. And you can find me on all the social media platforms at Courtney Faye Long, except my TikTok is Courtney Faye 222.
Okay, Courtney Faye 222. All right, Courtney, thank you so much for coming on the show this week to talk about two very important topics, sex and money. I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
Oh, Sam, thank you so much for having me. You're incredible. I was so excited for this, and you're just amazing. Thank you for everything you do in the world. And shout out to your TEDx talk. Everybody watch Sam's talk if you haven't.
Thank you. Thank you. And watch Courtney's as well. We'll put it in the show notes. Thank you so much. And of course, thank you, my loyal listeners, for tuning in each week. Without you, there is no show. We so appreciate you. And don't forget, if you did miss any part of today's show, you can always catch the replay on talkradio.nyc, on all the major podcasting platforms, Apple, Google, Spotify, Pandora, iHeartRadio. Thank you all for tuning in. Don't forget, later today, Frank Harrison and his show, Frank About Health, followed by business trio, Bruce, Angie, and Nataj, for Serving Up Success with a Splash. Take care, everyone. We will talk to you all next week.
Were you an essential worker during the pandemic? If you needed to learn stages of epilepsy, did you depend on advocates? Did you use new innovations to cope with mental and neurological issues? Maintaining high quality of life and keeping good mental health are what we all strive for. I'm Frank R. Harrison, host of Frank About Health, And each week, top healthcare influencers, professionals, and innovators answer these questions and more. Stay tuned on Thursdays at 5 p.m. on talkradio.nyc, and I will continue to be frank about health with all of you.
Hi, I'm Linda Marsanico. The A Train to Sedona is a memoir about my journey to love and compassion. It's also the name of my new broadcast on Wednesdays at 12 noon. When we are spiritual, we embrace possibilities and ideas, which strengthen our mind, body, spirit, health, and wisdom. On the A Train to Sedona broadcast, I plan to interview guests who embrace these expansive practices. Join us on Wednesdays at 12 noon on Talk Radio New York City.
Hey, everybody, it's Tommy D, the Nonprofit Sector Connector, coming at you from my attic. Each week here on talkradio.nyc, I host the program Philanthropy in Focus. Nonprofits impact us each and every day, and it's my focus to help them amplify their message and tell their story. Listen each week at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time until 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a high-achieving, growth-oriented leader? Are you interested in developing your authentic leadership while creating a healthy, inclusive workplace? Hi, I'm Dr. Mira Branco, host of The Hard Skills on talkradio.nyc at 5 p.m. Eastern on Tuesdays, where we discuss how leaders develop the hard skills needed to make a greater impact. We interview experts, have live coaching, and tackle these challenges. Listen to The Hard Skills on Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to Talk Radio NYC. Uplift, educate, empower.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King. Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.